The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Help Me Harlan, nationally syndicated columnist Harlan Cohen. I'm asking him to put on his hat as author of The Naked Roommate, for parents only, and offer advice to all of us sending sons and daughters off to college for the first time this fall. Stick around, and parents, lay out your best Letterman sweater, knickerbockers, and raccoon coat. We're going to get educated today. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience that is rubbing its hands together with glee at the prospect of empty nesting, while at the same time shedding a tear over 4 more years of indentured servitude in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. 3 weeks from today, life as we have known it for 18 years in the Mr. Media household will forever change. We're taking Rachel to start her freshman year at college. Now, I joke about being ready to see my daughter head off, and mostly that's true. And I know she is more than ready to begin a new challenge and get out from under mom and dad's thumbs. But there is, admittedly, a little bit of sadness. When Mimi and I return home without the kid, who will provide me with on-site tech support? Who will correct my mistakes from sunup till sundown? Who will need me to remove the occasional spider that's terrorizing her in her room? And who will come up from behind me at my desk and demand an occasional hug for absolutely no reason? Well, to help my wife and I, and you and yours, survive the upcoming earthquakes in our lives, I've invited Harlan Cohen to be my guest today. Cohen, the nationally syndicated Help Me Harlan advice columnist, is the author of The Naked Roommates for Parents Only. It's a book recommended by many colleges and universities during parent orientation, including ours, to help us get through the potentially trying months ahead. Some of the questions that Cohen tackles in the book include, my daughter has been on campus for a few months and never seems to have a care in the world. Is this normal? When is it appropriate to say something and intervene based on something a parent has seen or read on Facebook? I know the answer to that one. Never. What are some of the things I should advise my child to bring to college? That's a simple, basic question, right? Now, by the way, I will personally pit my freshman roommate stories against anyone's. Let me give you an example. It was during the time of the fall of the Shah of Iran. There were death threats under the door in the middle of the night. And my roommate, who, by the way, was Iranian, was someone who hated noise, light, and fun of any kind, swear to God. And when he relocated after one semester, my replacement roommate, who was also Iranian, was the antithesis of the first guy, outgoing, boisterous, funny, charming, and for whatever reason, a big fan of hardcore porn and had a big stack of it under his cot. Go figure. Anyway, the lesson for me as a freshman, never judge an entire race or nationality based on a single representative. That's what I learned from that experience. And with that, Harlan Cohen, who's been here before, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Hey, it's good to be here. I'm very curious. Was it the porn roommate or the no fun roommate? Which one did you prefer?
Oh, the porn roommate.
Yeah. Of course. That was an easy question. Softball.
The first guy, it was one of those situations where I arrived – I guess relatively early and had the room to myself for 2 days. And then suddenly he showed up, turned as I'm sitting in there reading, he came in, didn't even introduce himself, came into the door, turned off the overhead light, closed. I was at the University of Miami, closed the hurricane shutters on the window on the fifth floor, and then announced, I do not like light. I do not like noise. I don't think he used the word fun, but whatever it was. And I was just like, right. Okay, nice to meet you too.
Right.
Kid of a bit of privilege, I'd say.
Right.
Never.
But you survived.
Yes. Only because he finally, left.
Right. And that's a good experience. I love these roommates. See, I love roommates that aren't great. Okay. Like, I hope your daughter gets a slightly dysfunctional roommate. Just a little bit. I hope your daughter's roommate's a little bit off, and I hope your daughter's a little bit off. Mm-hmm. Because that is the best situation, because so many parents are so worried and so many students are so worried, what am I going to encounter? And the answer is it doesn't matter. And especially if your son or daughter approaches this college experience with a certain mindset, it's not going to matter who she lives with. Hmm. Because she's going to find what she needs in other places outside her room. And, I'm happy to explain that now, or I can explain that later.
No, please, go right ahead. I'd like to hear this. I'd like my daughter to hear this, frankly. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm happy to share this with her. Get her. I hope she gives you one of those random hugs, which, oh my gosh, broke my heart. I mean, I have three kids, okay? I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And I'm already, I hear these stories. Like you, I was getting broken up. I was like, you're my future. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when it comes to the roommate situation, when it comes to your daughter, the mindset is your roommate does not need to be your friend, okay? Now, I don't know if she has a lot of friends at FSU. I think that's where you said, right?
Right.
You say that? I don't want to expose anything.
That's okay.
You said that, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you? Maybe you did. Anyway, I said it. Sorry. But I don't know if she knows people there, but regardless – she's going to find people. Her roommate doesn't need to be her friend. Too many times students go in with this mindset that my roommate has to be my friend. And when your roommate has to be your friend, you're placing unrealistic expectations. A roommate is not a friend. A roommate is someone you share space with to help to pay for college, for the cost of living on college. So roommate rule number one is a roommate's not an automatic friend. That's a bonus. It's just someone you share space with. The next roommate rule is roommates who want to get along will find a way to get along. Hmm. The moment your daughter calls you and says, "Dad, I hate my roommate," is the moment your daughter becomes the roommate from hell, okay? Because she doesn't have to hate the roommate. She just has to find a way to get along. My roommate, he didn't want to get along with me. He gave me the silent treatment, okay? I could have hated him, but instead I talked to him. He was a great listener, okay?
I saw that. It's in the book. I know. That's great.
It really was. I would talk to him for hours. He hated me, but it was like therapy. The third rule is the uncomfortable rule. And I mentioned this in the book for parents. The uncomfortable rule says if your daughter is ever uncomfortable, the rule is she has to tell her roommate within 24 to 48 hours, and her roommate has to tell her, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't tell each other, then you're not allowed to talk about it. The problem with your daughter and the problem with millions of these college-bound high school students is that they suck at uncomfortable. They don't know how to be uncomfortable. An RA told me the other day, the big issue has been students communicating. They'll tweet each other. They'll Facebook each other while they're in the same room because they can't have a face-to-face conversation.
I can see that.
So the three rules, roommates who want to get along, find a way to get along. You just have to coexist. You don't have to be friends. And three, you have to live by the uncomfortable rule, meaning you share these stories. You share what your feelings. So if your daughter contacts you and says, "Dad, I'm upset about this or that," the question is, do you want to get along? Okay. And are you sharing this with your roommate? And she said, "I don't want to share it." Okay, well, don't share it with me. Talk to your RA. Figure a way to share it, because you've got to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that's how she'll work through it.
Well, I like in the book you talk about, does your child have the roommate from hell? And then you talk about that. And then you say, or is your child the roommate from hell?
Oh, we're so – as an advice columnist, everybody writes to me about what he or she did, what my boyfriend, what my husband, what my girlfriend did. It never starts off with, this is what I did and this is what I feel. It's always about someone else. Now, the big thing – and I want to make sure I get to this, because this is something that's not even in the book that is so important, is that you and your daughter and your wife, it's really unfair what's been done, because – in high school, this whole preparing for college experience has been about search, which is the broad, the broad exploration of all the schools. Then selection, once your daughter's been accepted, which ones could be the best fit. And that's it. right? It's like, okay, good luck. Mm-hmm. But there's a third part that's the most important part of this experience that high school students aren't being told about and parents don't know about. It's the highest stakes, most emotional part of this college preparation process, and that's called transition. And as an adult, you know, we're adults, life is about transitions, okay? It's about change. But the thing that we never tell high school students is in order to find the best fit, in order to create the best college experience, you need to be ready for transition. People say, what's transition? Well, transition consists of the social transition, the emotional transition, the physical transition of being away and your surroundings, the financial transition, and, oh yeah, the academic transition. So those are the five areas. So when you have a problem, when your daughter has a problem, it's going to fall under one of those five categories. Well, what we don't do in high school is we don't help students to prepare for transition, and that's why there's an epidemic of students struggling. 25% of students will not return to the same school, which is incredible. And many students make a lot of choices they regret because they don't know how to handle this transition. And that's where I come in, and that's where I can really help parents and help your sons and daughters as well.
It's interesting. I like to think that the thing that I have focused on, oddly enough, it's funny that you brought that up, is the transition in terms of we spent the summer trying to hand off responsibility to her, give her freedom to make more decisions and be able to come and go more freely and that kind of thing. So what I'm worried about is actually, okay, since I focused on that, what have I not focused on? Something is going to blow up in your face.
Absolutely.
And I'm just waiting to see what it turns out to be.
And you know what? It's going to happen and it should happen. And I always tell students and parents, if you're not uncomfortable, something's wrong. Mm. Okay. You're too drunk. You're too high. You're at home. You're in denial. You're with your boyfriend, girlfriend. You're online. You should be uncomfortable. But again, we suck at uncomfortable because high school is all about protecting students from being uncomfortable. Mm. Like, here's something that's going to freak you out, Bob. Okay.
Oh, good. I can hardly wait.
Yeah. And all the other parents. So your daughter went to prom, right?
Yes.
She go to prom? Yeah, she goes to prom, right? And at prom, they probably had a zero tolerance, right? If you show up for prom and you have alcohol on your breath, what happens?
You're out.
Right, you're done. Yeah. Zero tolerance. Now, 16 weeks later, your daughter shows up for class drunk and high. You know what's going to happen?
Nothing.
She'll sleep in class or she'll sleep through class. There is 100% tolerance for the most part. So we go from zero tolerance to 100% tolerance, and students are supposed to be able to manage this when they've never had instruction of how to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. So, you know, that's the reality. No wonder why students struggle. But I have a great answer for you and for other parents on how to address this. And it's really simple. Any issue, any problem that comes up, there's three things that your son or daughter needs to think about. And your daughter needs to think of places, people, and patience, okay? If a roommate's a disaster, great, okay? I don't care what it is. As long as it's not dangerous, who cares? It's going to be okay. It's an experience. Where are her places? Where are her three places outside the room? What did she love to do in high school that she could do in college? At a big university like she's going to, it's everywhere. So she picks those three places. I see sometimes one where you could be active, one organizational, maybe one spiritual. So you find these three places. You do this early in the process. Then you find people in these places, five people in each of these places, people you can reach out to, people you can connect with, people who are paid to help, people who volunteer to help, people you can enlist to help. And you'll meet these people during orientation. You might have already met them during one of the orientations. But you'll meet them when you drop her off. So there's the places and there's the people. And then the third P is patience. How long does she think it will take to find her places and people? And I can tell you it has to be at least a year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. And if you understand this, and I can tell, like, you're an emotion – we're similar. I can tell. I mean, we're emotionally driven and, you know
– Don't forget it, handsome.
And incredibly – eye candy is what I like to say.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's the truth. We need to talk about how attractive we are, which definitely tells everybody we don't think we have serious problems. But I can go down there because I think I'm far from beautiful most days. So if you have an understanding of the people and the places and you're patient, then when your daughter calls you, when one of these issues come up, which absolutely will come up, you can apply the 24-hour rule, which is basically, sweetie, you got to feel what you're going to feel. I totally get it. What are you going to do about it? Why don't you think about it? Okay. You know, what are you going to do? Which is one of the things that parents are terrible at doing. So what are you going to do? And then once the 24 hours are up, okay, I don't know what to do, Dad. Okay, well, where are your people? Who are your people and where are your places? Oh, I remember at orientation, there was this person from the counseling center, this person from that organization. You know, reach out to those people. And then there's these other places. And if it's something where I'm afraid, Dad, I'm too shy, okay, well, then get a job. Do something where you have to do it, where you can't be rejected, where you're automatically going to be accepted. Mm. And in my Naked Roommate for Students book, I really give them an idea of how they can find their way. So places, patients, and people is how you navigate transition. And that's something that high schools don't tell students how to do. And that's something where parents can be really helpful.
I know patience in her senior year was something I had to work on.
Yeah, how so?
Well, in the sense that I've always wanted to just jump in and solve the problem. You know, so, yeah. Or deal with, you know, what you're affecting my daughter negatively. I'm on this.
Right.
So this past year was kind of backing away from that and trying not to be that way. And yeah, it'd be a little harder, but of course it'll be, in some ways it'll be easier at college because it won't be that close. I won't be involved with the teachers and the administration. And so I think that'll be good. I mean, one of the things that strikes me talking to you here and reading the book was that, it seems like reading your book, it's a little bit like Dickens, you know. It'll be kind of the best of times. It'll be the worst of times. Yeah. I assume there's a lot of both ahead.
I had a miserable first year, and I mean, I don't know what you're like, you know, when you're not here. But you seem like a loving man who wants, you know, you want your daughter to be happy, right? You want her to
sure,
be successful,
of course.
And we all do. And my parents were the same way. And I have two older brothers, one 8 years older, one 5 years older. I went to UW-Madison. I thought it was going to be amazing. My roommate wasn't my friend, so I was like minus one friend. I didn't get into the fraternity I thought I was going to get into. My long-distance girlfriend dumped me, and I was at one of the greatest universities, and I was miserable. And it was the first time I was like, I mean, I've never been so depressed in my life. Mm. I mean, I really was, and I marinated in it. And what I discovered is that the problem wasn't the university. The problem was me. And I didn't know how to navigate this transition. I eventually transferred to Indiana University, had a tough first semester there. Then I found my people, I found my places, and I was able to find my way. But what's really interesting about this whole thing is now when your daughter struggles or when a student struggles, they don't marinate, okay? Mm. They text.
Yeah.
They call. So while you say you're not as worried about being involved, well, the challenge is when she's uncomfortable and she's upset, you don't know the faces. You don't know the names. And it's a lot harder for you to problem solve when you don't know all the players and don't have all the resources and you're getting all this input. So the question is, how do you support yourself so that if she's homesick, and 65% of students admit feeling some sort of homesickness. So two-thirds of students, when she's homesick, what's going to be your plan? You know, do you have a plan in place? Does your wife have a plan? Have you thought about that?
Oh, that wasn't a rhetorical question. Yeah.
I changed it around. At first it was, and then I just thought it'd be a little more engaging because I have you right here.
Well, we've had a little practice over the summer and this past year, actually, because when my daughter's made some trips, for example, where she's gone here or gone there, and I've just kind of left her alone. She knew if she needed something, I'm here. But
right.
I haven't been. I didn't call her constantly. I didn't text her constantly. You know, we stayed in touch, and I kind of thought that was probably the way we need to set things up for going to college because she doesn't need me calling once a day or three times a day. Or
right.
I said, you know, once a week might be good unless there's something particular going on. And
right.
That's kind of the plan. I mean, we've always talked about the 10-second rule, not to overreact. To something, to think about it, count to 10.
Of course, it's 10 seconds, 24 hours.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just getting to that. Like today she said to me, something came up and she said, what happened to the 10-second rule, Dad? You burst out with something. You didn't count to 10. And I went, yeah, okay. All right, you got me there. But yeah, I mean, I like that about the book actually because you talk in a couple of places about how you're going to hear these things and you're going to want to respond, but don't. Give it give it time because things change in their lives very quickly. And in college, unlike high school, for example, you're not there to see it happening. They'll resolve their own problems in many cases. And if they don't, you'll hear about it in 24 hours. It'll still be a problem.
In 24 hours, what's going to happen? It'll still be a problem.
Or it won't.
And there was something I wanted to – there was something that you mentioned that that comes up all the time. Oh, it's killing me. I didn't want to interrupt you.
So when
a child calls and they have a problem, a great technique is to ask the question, and you could ask your daughter the question, are you looking for advice or do you just want me to listen? Mm. And that question, and just the act of a parent asking that question sends such a different message to a kid. It's saying, I'm giving you an option. I am going to listen to you and respect your boundaries because you're an adult and that's how I want our relationship to progress. Whereas before I want answers the way I want answers when I want answers, but I give you permission and I respect you and your opinions. Now, the truth is, Bob, you're still going to say whatever the hell you want to say. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, okay.
But at least it's the illusion of actually respecting boundaries. But it's a great technique to ask those questions. And I think just getting the habit of what do you think? And I know that, you know, your daughter, she's leaving, and you don't have as much time, and it's great that you've been doing these things ahead of time. But I think even for the high school parent of the sophomore and the junior – you know, it's really getting in the habit of what do you think you should do? Mm. And also, I'm going to give you room to fail and struggle because I would rather have you struggle while I'm living in the same home as you than have you struggle far away where there's 100% tolerance and you're the one who's setting your own boundaries. And I think that's really where high schools, you know, do a really poor job of the social, emotional, the physical part of it, because they're so afraid of what the parents are going to think and how the school is going to be looked upon if students make poor choices. But some tolerance really helps students navigate these big things. It's scary. Do you see, you know, the whole sexual assault thing scares me to death.
Yeah,
I mean, with women. You know, 1 out of 5 college-age women, and I don't mean to scare you or scare other parents, but it's a great conversation to have with your kid. Of, you know, do you know this? And I'm not trying to do anything but just ask you, you know, what are your thoughts? You know, what's your plan when you go to parties? Especially the first few months, they call it the red zone. It's the time where women are the most vulnerable. They're the highest frequency of sexual assaults. And I posted a great little – a great article on Naked Roommate for Parents Only on my Facebook page. It was a New York Times article that really walked through what one girl dealt with. And it's a great article to share with your kids. Okay. So one way to help your sons or daughters to navigate through these difficult parts of the experience, instead of telling them what to do and what not to do, send them an email with links of articles, you know, things that are interesting. Comb the college newspapers and just be like, oh, this is interesting, that's interesting, and just send it to them. I mean, not every day your kid will have a breakdown, but it's just awareness. You know, this idea of that it's not going to happen to me mentality, I think that's really scary for parents.
We've talked about a lot of serious stuff to this point, but I also know that from reading the book, you hear a lot of really dumbass stories about parents and kids starting school. Any good ones you care to share?
Oh my gosh, there's so many good ones. There are so many good ones. There was a story I tell when I do a lot of live events and I'll help parents transition on campuses. And I tell a story about this happened at a Catholic university of all places, I know, where a girl was on the floor. She was living in a residence hall. The RA shared the story with me. The girl was in her room, and a roommate brought a boy home. Okay, this girl who was on the bottom bunk had never been in a room where someone brought a boy home. It freaked her out. So she was in her bed and didn't know what to do. So as the RA relates the story, the girl waited a while, hoping that her silence would cause this to stop, but it only her being quiet only caused the situation to increase in intensity. So the girl reached down and picked up her cell phone and called her mom. Said, "Mom, my roommate's, you know, on top of me. What, having, you know, a friend, what should I do?" And the mom said, "I'll be right there."
No.
Yes, yeah, so 3.5 hours later, the mom knocks on the door. The RA opens the door. The mom says, "My daughter's in this room. We need to get her out of there now." They run. They rescue the daughter. They put her in a single. Like, and why they had to rescue her is they put her in a single, and that's how they solved the problem. And I thought that was horrible.
That's
so
horrible
the rest
solution.
Of her life, right, whenever she gets uncomfortable, they're going to isolate her, put her in isolation. And that's just an example of a parent who can't handle uncomfortable, who freaks out. And you know, based on those roommate rules I mentioned in the top of our conversation, this girl could have dealt with it. You know, she could have gotten comfortable. She didn't have to run out, or she didn't have to call her mom. She could have listened for a while, okay? And she could have been silly and screamed like, "Wow, that was fast!" You know, something.
Well, she may not have had the experience to know that, to maybe
she were,
to make
well,
that comment.
She's watched enough online to know. so she could have been. It could have been easier. The next day, she could have talked about it. Yeah. So you know, it's a situation of uncomfortable, yeah, but it becomes empowering. Another mom told me her daughter. I was doing an event in upstate Washington, and her daughter was in a room, and the roommate was like a partier. She'd drink all the time, and she'd bring home random guys. And she said it was such a tough semester for my daughter, and she lived a whole year with this girl. And they even reached out to counseling to try and help this girl. And I said, "This is the best story ever." I said, "This is a great story." I said, "Did your daughter become a porn star? You know, did she become someone who sleeps around?" She goes, "No, she found it really disgusting." I said, "Did your daughter become an alcoholic? Did she drink and party more?" She goes, "No, she saw what happens." And I said, "So living with someone who has different values didn't change your daughter?" "No, it just not at all." I said, "And she was able to reach out to people to help this person, and she had a life outside of her room." I said, "Your daughter had the best year of her life."
There you go.
And the mom said, "I never thought of it that way." And the thing is, we don't think of it that way because if our kid's uncomfortable, we're uncomfortable. But uncomfortable is part of life. But no one teaches us, so it's hard for our kids to be able to learn it.
I think that's a great example. Oh, by the way, Harlan, can you turn the sound down on your computer just a little bit? Harlan?
Can I turn what?
Can you turn your sound down a little bit? It was feeding back a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think
that
was –
Is that better?
Yeah, as long as you can still hear me.
Can you? Absolutely.
Okay. So I was going to say, I think that's a great example. I know from my own freshman year – one of the reasons I don't drink, you know, if I might have a glass of sangria every 3 months or something, but I don't drink. And mostly it was because of my freshman year, because the guys that I was around drank all the time. I mean, all of them, they all drank all the time. And the results of that were so horrifying to me. You know, kids falling down, collapsing in hallways, tripping down stairs, doing things that they greatly regretted the next day. And I thought, why would I want to do that? And, you know, it's just – yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a good point. That's why you kind of do want someone who's definitely different than you.
That's why you choose heroin and marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Give that away. All right.
But you won't drink.
No.
You're always lighting something. You're like, I'm not being stupid like those people.
Not true, folks. Just not true. Not true.
No, I just made that up. That's fiction.
Yeah,
fiction. But now that marijuana is legal in a lot of states,
that'll be a whole new chapter, won't it? I mean, next time you do a new edition, you'll have to adapt.
Yeah, I mean, it still goes along with this idea of be smart about being stupid. Like, don't be so stupid you die or ruin your future. You know, it's like you can make whatever choices you want, but make sure you make smart choices and understand why you're making those choices and surround yourself with the right people who can protect you and help you and make sure if you are doing those things, you know, be smart about being stupid because, you know, it's like we can't control what they do or don't do. At this point, it's really up to them, which could be kind of scary. Along the parent lines of parents doing other things, a parent once called the president of a university because her daughter's air conditioner was broken. And the president said, you know, ma'am, have you called – has your daughter told anybody about the problem? She goes, she told me. And the president said, so I really recommend your daughter talk to her RA, and they could address the situation. So,
we've talked a lot of the stories I have noticed that we've discussed have been about moms, but I have one more. Unfortunately, that's a mom story. You tell a story in the book about a girl who goes to school. Mom takes her to school and stays for the first 2 weeks. I thought, surely that's an exaggeration.
You can do that too. You could be the dad. I'll write about you in the next
edition. Oh my God, that's so the last thing I would ever think
of. I know. You know, it's just there are a lot of parents who just don't have, you know, they're worried and they don't have a lot going on in their life. And this is where the parent who is having a hard time, especially as parents who have, you know, their first and only child going away, what I say to you is, where are your places? Like, where are you going to put yourself? Because if you're sitting at home doing the same thing you were doing before, or if you don't change your routine, because your routine was really enmeshed with your child, if you don't change your routine, you're going to really be hurting. So where are your places? And also, who are your people? So that when you get uncomfortable and need to talk to someone, because for you guys, and Bob, I feel for you and your wife and all parents, because you are dealing with unprecedented challenges. I mean, parenting is changing, and how kids communicate with their parents, and the frequency, and you know, how to navigate through this world. You know, you're dealing with new challenges that will help me, but most parents, you know, they haven't dealt with it. This is all new stuff, all which right. is unbelievable.
Now, any changing this topic a little bit? Any special advice for separated or divorced parents dealing with taking their kid off to college for the first time? Is the information any different for them?
Well, I think you're pretty good. I mean, if you've been a nightmare, if it's been a nightmare before, okay, then you're just going to create a nightmare later. Okay, how you've done it in the past is how you'll do it in the future, and it's really respecting boundaries and having conversations. And if you can't communicate clearly, then having a third party who can communicate. But the biggest issue is, you know, this is the most dramatic transition of your kid's life, and they don't need to manage your problems. And this is the big challenge is, if you don't have support, and if your child was your number one support system, because a lot of parents, single parents, their kids play a larger role in supporting them in their life. You need to make sure that you have someone other than your child who can be in your corner, so that you're not depending on your child who's in the midst of his or her own big transition. Mm-hmm. You can swap out weekends when you're going to visit. You can create a separate family weekend. Every other year, you can go to the university one. Some parents will plan it where they'll go to a sporting event, or they'll create their own type of event a different time of year. One may do it in the spring one year. One may do it in the fall another year. But also talking to other parents who have gone through it is always really helpful of how do you manage it. The issue is, like, when you're uncomfortable, you tend to be a little more reactive, which is why the other day you couldn't do the 10-second rule because everyone's on edge. So keeping that in mind as well, I think it's really important to have people, you know, great people at home who could be in your corner.
All right. Well, you've answered a lot of questions. I have one more for you. This is maybe the most important question of them all.
Intrigued.
Okay. So I'm thinking that timing-wise, it would be appropriate after the kid is gone for, let's say, a week. She's been at school a week and she hasn't come home. Is that the right time to turn her bedroom into like a spa, you know, put in a hot tub and maybe a massage table, that kind of thing? Is that enough time to wait, or do I need to wait a little longer? Maybe
two weeks. Why would you even wait a week?
All I needed to hear, Harlan. Thank you very much.
Contractors should be coming in as you leave. Just don't go back and get something. Like, if she forgets something within I'd say an hour just to play it safe.
Okay. Give it an hour.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 5-hour ride to school. So I'm thinking, you know, a day for each hour, maybe 5 to 7 days, and then we'll.
You know, I think that's fair enough. You know, she'll be back. When she comes back, she'll enjoy the spa because that will become a room in 4 or 5 years.
How did you get to be so smart, Harlan?
Yeah. You know, it's this whole idea of talking to people like you, you know, talking to parents.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm scared of everything, so I talk to people. So the more I talk to, you know, when I'm scared about this stuff, it makes it easier.
Got it. All right.
So it's been really interesting. But really, I think that for you, I've been hedging on the parent side of things lately, just because it is so emotional, and we are so connected with our kids, I just think the bonds are even stronger than they were 10, 15 years ago, and how we connect, and you know, just the emotional attachment.
I'd be very interested to have you back in 7 or 8 years when your first is about to go through this, and see if your view of any of this has changed.
You know, one other thing that we didn't mention, but the financial part, I know like tons of people deal with the financial, but I'll just give you one tip for the financial.
College is free, right? You're not going to tell me otherwise.
College is free. When you have a brilliant kid who gets a scholarship, that is exactly how it works. But one great tip is for your kid to have a great relationship with a financial aid advisor, okay? Because sometimes money will come up later on in the semester. And if they have a relationship, they could sometimes get extra money. Also, there are some amazing jobs during the school year. Like being an RA is a great job because you get free room and board a lot of times. And then I've actually talked to students who have made, this one guy made $40,000 his senior year. He was selling knives, selling Cutco knives. There are jobs where you can be a salesperson and you can start working on campus and you can make money, which is really cool because it gives you great experience. So I think like the financial burden, if you turn it into something really positive, can be great. Cool. It can help you to find great connections and be resourceful.
All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find Harlan Cohen's book, The Naked Roommate, for parents only, as well as his other books, including The Naked Roommate for students only, right?
Right. So Naked Roommate and 107 other issues you might run into in college. Actually, I have one right here.
How convenient.
I swear.
Yeah, there it is.
Naked Roommate.
All right.
And this is everywhere. This has hit the New York Times list a couple times, and it's really helpful when it comes to students transitioning.
And let's mention the other book, Dad's Pregnant Too. That was the first time you were on. So if you and your wife are pregnant, you know what I mean. Check that one out too.
Now that the other kid's gone, it's time to get busy and have another.
Not happening. Right. Shh. Not happening at all. Okay. But those books and many more are available in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order any of them right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you've watched the show before, you know how this works. If you're watching us on MrMedia.com, right below, somewhere under us here, you can see the cover of the book, The Naked Roommate for Parents Only. Click on it. Amazon will send it to you via drone within 30 minutes or less, or maybe they'll ship it to you overnight. They can get it pretty fast these days. Ebook, whatever. Harlan, yes?
I forgot something so important.
Okay, please.
I have a free mini course for parents. It's called 5 Simple Rules for College Parents, and it can include a link. That'd be great. And it's 5 rules that you can live by to really help you to be the best parent so that your child can transition smoothly. And you can find that at nakedroommate.com and at harlancohen.com. 5 Simple Rules.
That was actually my next question is for the website. Oh. So let me ask you, you're also on Twitter and Facebook, I assume people can find.
Yes. Everywhere at Harlan Cohen, HARLANCOHEN. And then my website, harlancohen.com and nakedroommate.com. And you can sign up for that course. And I've got so many things that are going to be available to help support you and your children throughout this experience.
Excellent. Well, Harlan, I do a lot of interviews, talk to a lot of people. This one was particularly helpful for me in the state that I'm in. Okay. So pleasure to see you, have you back. And thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Media, today.
Well, anytime. Appreciate it. And good luck to you and your family.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, these are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot.
Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Resistance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.
Just a Minute with Joe Ardinger.
Like most people living in California, I am deluding myself that I have the flu. But we all know it's really radiation from Fukushima. Or just the flu.
To hear the rest of this minute, to sample Joe's other minutes, and to subscribe to his newest ones, visit RealmNetwork.com. That's RELMNetwork.com. Just a Minute with Joe Ardinger, another great Realm Network production. Wednesday afternoons, right here on the Realm Network.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by the Realm Network.